said, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I'm so honored to be with you all this morning. A little about me. Last summer, I moved with my husband and my son to Hanover from Washington, D.C. As you can imagine, it's been a bit of a change. We went from living in a large apartment building in DuPont Circle to a house in the woods in the middle of the country. It's been great for our family, but we've had to learn a few things. In the first days after we moved, I took our baby out in our stroller for a walk to our closest destination, Studley Store, the kind of place that sells fried chicken sandwiches on Mondays. I pushed the stroller in my sandals through the tall grass under the power lines because the cars on the adjacent roads were moving too fast for us to walk on the side of the road. When I got back to our house, I saw our neighbor across the street for the first time since we had moved in. She was eager to introduce herself and tell me about the neighborhood. "This is a great neighborhood," she said. "We've lived here for 40 years. There's no crime and it's very peaceful." "But," she said, "if you see a stick in the middle of the road, watch out. It could be a copperhead." I glanced down at my toes poking out from my sandals and thought about how I had just happily, naively walked through the tall grass with no thought of snakes in sight. That was the first and the last time that I've walked to Studley's store, and I always make sure to wear closed-toed shoes when I walk outside now. I thank God that I have not yet encountered a poisonous snake in my new neighborhood. The Israelites, on the other hand, weren't so lucky as they traveled through the wilderness on their way to freedom. This morning in the book of Numbers, we hear one of many stories of rebellion as the people struggle on their long journey in the wilderness. The catalyst this time for their mutiny against God is a forced detour. The people become impatient, which ignites their typical list of wilderness complaints. "Oh, we hate this food. How long are we going to be out here?" The Hebrew literally says that they were short of soul along the way. I don't know about you, but I can relate. If there is any time I can say I am short of soul, it is when I experience some kind of travel delay, whether it's at the airport or on the freeway. Can you think of anything worse than driving along 95 in between DC and Washington and Richmond and getting stuck in some kind of traffic or detour? We've all been there, haven't we? This time, God loses patience too, though. As a judgment against the people's distrust, God sends poisonous snakes that bite and even kill some of the Israelites. This punishment is enough to make the people repent. They go to Moses, confessing that they have sinned by speaking against the Lord, and beg him to ask for God's help. God sends a source of healing, but it's not an immediate cure. Moses is instructed to make a bronze cast of a serpent and set it up high on a pole. Anyone who is bitten by a snake must then personally go and look at this bronze serpent, and they will be healed. Now, this is one of those tough Old Testament stories. We don't like to think of God as a punishing God. It makes us uncomfortable to imagine that God would allow someone to die because of their sin. There is something we often forget when we read these difficult stories about God's punishment and judgment. God's desire has always been and will always be to save and redeem humanity. Every action that God takes, as inscrutable as it may be for us, is to save God's own creation. So what on earth do poisonous snakes have to do with redeeming creation? Well, what if the snakes that God sent were physical manifestations of what was already in the people's hearts and minds? What if the people didn't even realize that a serpent, ever the symbol of lies and deception, had taken up residence in their souls? They didn't realize that until they physically saw the snakes and were afraid for their lives and finally remembered that their only certain source of help is God. The problem is that sometimes we cannot even see how we have strayed away from God until a catalyst for change occurs outside of our lives. We get stuck until there is some danger on the horizon and we see that our lives are at risk and only God can help us. We often fail to see how our sin is a matter of life and death because we refuse to even look at it. I think that God sent the snakes to the Israelites because it forced them to do two things. First, as a community, they named their distrust in God. And second, God made each individual who had been bitten to go and look at that bronze serpent themselves. Each person who sinned had to examine their own souls and name the unique ways that they had turned away from God. What snakes slither amongst the rocks and trees of our own souls? What serpents threaten and bite us, injecting their venomous poison into our very being, telling us, "You can't do it. It's not worth the risk. You'll never arrive in the promised land. Just give up. Don't ask for help. It's not fair. Or, of course, this is too hard." You notice a common theme in all of these refrains? God can't be trusted. I would venture to say that this simple phrase is at the core of every sin, big and small. I cannot trust God. Our challenge today is twofold. And I have good news. All of us here have already accomplished the first challenge, which is to name as a community that we have turned away from God. In Lent, we kick off our liturgy with the confession of sin. So you can pat yourself on the back. You've accomplished your first challenge. Now for the second challenge. I think you have an idea about what it is. We each must find the courage to face our own bronze serpent, to look inside our own souls and confront the voices that lead us away from our trust in God. We each must find the courage to face that which we don't want to. It's hard. It's painful. It's a lifelong process. But what we learn from something as icky as snakes today is that our pain can become the agent of our own healing. When we are brave enough to look at the very thing that hurts us, God promises that we will be healed. Amen.